Peter, before we get into the 9/11 situation, the 9/11 Commission, and items like that, let me ask you something that has been rampant around this country. And there is so much distrust now in government and agencies, and even in some cases, I believe maybe Al-Qaeda and Osama bin Laden might have been assisted in some form or fashion. But in your opinion, do you think there was anyone in this country or in other governments culpable with Al-Qaeda as well? Did they all know what was going on and simply decided not to do anything? Let's let this happen for whatever reason, whatever motives. Or do you believe this was strictly a crazed fundamentalist Islamic attack on the United States and other areas?
Well, I believe it was both is the answer. In other words, I believe it was a crazed fundamentalist attack, but I believe the evidence is just so compelling that there were so many acts of negligence that after a while you have to say there were, at a minimum, they were criminally negligent, our government. And we're talking about three successive administrations here. Remember, in 1989, they first had these people on the radar of the FBI during President Bush Sr.'s administration. They failed to prevent the Trade Center bombing during his administration. Clinton came in January of 93, but Clinton, the 8 years of the Clinton administration, the TWA 800 cover-up happened during that time. Ignoring Colonel Mendoza's evidence happened during Clinton's administration. But by the time Bush, George W. came in, there was the accumulated body of knowledge, and there were the 9/11 Commission wasn't an entire whitewash, but one of the things they came up with was that there were 33 separate terror warnings in the summer of 01. George Tenet, CIA director, is saying the light is blinking red. Richard Clark's hair is on fire. There were just multiple warnings. Of course, the Phoenix memo in July, which my book, A Thousand Years' Revenge, shows that Ken Williams, the author of that memo, was warned by a courageous man named Harry Ellen, who was an FBI asset in Phoenix years earlier, and as early as 1996, that he should be looking at flight schools. That memo only came in July, but still, that memo, taking in conjunction with the fact that they knew that there was a 9/11 planning session in Kuala Lumpur in January of 2000, that two of the hijackers, Al-Midar and Al-Hazmi, were then living openly in San Diego. You add the Zacharias Moussaoui situation where he was trying to learn how to fly a jumbo jet but not land one, and George Tenet knew about that and his links to Al-Qaeda and didn't even bring it up at the principals meeting of September 4th. We know the president got the daily briefing August 6th that said bin Laden determined to attack in the U.S. despite what Condi Rice said, claiming there was no evidence prior to the early 1993 Trade Center bombing. And now my evidence of TWA 800, I think, proves that there was the second biggest act of Al-Qaeda terror, the second biggest mass murder in American history, happened in 1996. And by the way, if people, again, go to my website, georgepeterlance.com, and they click on these FBI 302s, you will see, in addition to the TWA warning, several things. Number one, proof of a link between Al-Qaeda and Iran, which only came out in the 9/11 report in July. My evidence shows the FBI had it in 96. Proof of a plot to hijack a plane to free Blind Sheikh Rahman. This was the subject of the daily briefing of August 6th, and also another one that went to Clinton in 1998. And also proof that Ramzi Youssef had an active Al-Qaeda cell in New York in 1996. All of this is in FBI 302 memos. Now, why should we care? Because two of the people involved in this cover-up are senior members of the administration today. One of them is Patrick Fitzgerald, the U.S. Attorney for the Northern District of Illinois, Chicago. He is the man who is running the Joseph Ambassador Joe Wilson leak probe, where, you know, you have the investigation of the leaks by Novak of Valerie Plame as a CIA agent. And also Patrick Valerie Caproni, who is the general counsel, the chief lawyer in the FBI. You go to the 302s on peterlance.com, go to the one that says March 7, 1996, page 1, and you will see they were a party to the Scarpa-Yusef intelligence, as was Dietrich Dieter Schnell. Now, why is he important? He was a senior team leader on the 9/11 Commission. He's the guy that took my testimony when I testified March 15th. There was not a word in the 9/11 Commission report, George, not a whiff of this Al-Qaeda link to TWA. Even if they had said, well, there's an allegation and we've looked into it and we found nothing, not a word. Why? Because Dietrich Snell was part of the cover-up. He should have been a witness in front of the 9/11 Commission. Instead, he was one of the senior team leaders.
Let me ask you this as well. Do you believe that a plane did hit the Pentagon?
Yes, I do.
Okay, you don't believe
not
in that
question. Theory. Yeah, the plane was going 500 miles an hour, hit reinforced concrete, and just the wings went back, and it just went in. And the National Academy of Sciences did a study. There's a brilliant building collapse authority from England named Philip Warren, who I trust implicitly. He absolutely believes it happened.
But where are the plane parts? Where are the body parts?
Well, no, they found them. They recovered them. It's just, see, here's the problem, George. There's so much incredible stuff that's real. You don't have to go there. You know, in other words, let me give you a couple of examples. On the day of 9/11, and my book proves this for the first time, and this is material also unearthed by Paul Thompson, who wrote The Terror Timeline, which is also on my website, a remarkable book. He has cooperativeresearch.org, the greatest timeline of all on 9/11. Paul Thompson found an article from the Bergen Record, December 5th, 2003, and we've since followed up on this, and there were two F-16s from the New Jersey 177th Fighter Wing of the Jersey National Guard, and they were 8 minutes away from Lower Manhattan. They weren't summoned that morning. There was a brief mention in the 9/11 report that FAA attempted to contact a defunct NORAD base in Atlantic City. Guess what? It may have been a defunct NORAD base, but it was an active Air National Guard base, and these planes were 8 minutes from Lower Manhattan. They were never called. They instead called Duffy and Nash, two F-15s from Cape Cod, from Otis, Massachusetts Air National Guard base. Ridiculous. And even then, when those planes were sent to Manhattan, they took them from 8:13 in the morning when the first hijacking occurred, mm-hmm. 8:52 to get airborne.
So why, though? Why? Was this stupidity or culpability?
Well, I'm a reporter, and I only report what I know I can prove.
So you're not going to speculate.
Motive. The only speculation I can have is the following. After a while, they say when it looks like a duck and walks like a duck and quacks like a duck, it's a duck. It's impossible to believe that the Federal Bureau of Investigation was this incompetent so many times over the years without some people having some prior knowledge of an attack impending. We know they knew of an impending attack. We know they knew from the Germans, from the Israelis, from the Russians, from the Egyptians that a major Al-Qaeda attack was planned that summer. And we know that the blind sheikh is a key crucial figure here. Let's go back to the blind sheikh. The blind sheikh was beloved of bin Laden 2 weeks before the Kohl bombing. He does the video fatwa with the dagger where he says, remember al-Sayyid Nasser, the guy that killed Kahani, and go to the spilling of blood for your sheikh. Now listen to this. Two separate presidential briefings reference a plot to hijack a plane to free the blind sheikh. And George, 1 week before 9/11, the Taliban offered to exchange the 8 Christian aid workers in Kabul for the blind sheikh. I mean, again.
Right.
How many times do you have to get hit in the face before you realize you're being hit in the face?